What's on your mind? That's kind of a loaded question, especially when it is asked in a situation in which people are not supposed to answer back, this being a worship service. But we want to talk about what is supposed to be on our minds this evening. I want you to turn with me to Psalms 119, verses 11 through 16. It's a very well-known passage. Unfortunately, it's not always heeded. And the portions of the sacred scripture, this portion of the sacred scripture, will serve as the basis of our discussion this evening. Psalms 119, verses 11 through 16. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed thou art, O Lord, that teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. These are words that Christians should read and think on frequently. And God's word should be of great importance to the Christian. Here's another question. Does God's word bring us joy? Are we desirous of knowing it so we can follow it? Are we fully aware of the great benefits that it contains for us? When you stop and think about it, it tells us how to live. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and we'll see its source, we'll see the purpose that it was given, so that we could be suited for living here in this life, faithfully serving God and doing His will. Timothy was told in the epistle written to him, the second one, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When you stop and think about it, it has for us what we need, the teaching, the correction, the instruction that we need as we go day by day throughout this life. There's not a day that follows another one that is just like the previous one. The opportunities and the obstacles are different. And we need oftentimes to lean upon the Word of God. But how can we do so if we don't have ready access to it? That's why it needs to be in our hearts, in our minds. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we see that it has everything that we need to know about life and godliness. It supplies everything. I remember hearing, and I heard my father-in-law tell this, he did a radio program, and he had invited folks to call in. And he says, for every situation, there is a scripture. And some smart aleck called in and says, I'm driving along in my car, and I have four flat tires at one time. Give me a scripture for that. He said, in your patience possess you your souls. God has given us everything that we need, but we still have to go look for it and search. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, it's very frustrating for a lot of us when there's a passage we want to find, but we just can't remember where to locate it. Oftentimes we're searching for a passage, and I will misquote it while we're searching for it. And if you use the misquoted phrase, the Bible apps and stuff won't pull it up. And it's frustrating. So what are we to do about it? We're to do exactly what the scripture that we read tells us. We are to hide God's word in our heart. As we think about verse 11, consider, we should always have God's word with us. And notice, thy word have I hid in mine heart. It doesn't necessitate having a hard copy with us at all times, does it? There are some times when it is very inconvenient to have with us a full volume. I know a lot of men who carry in their pocket a New Testament. But what if you need an Old Testament scripture? You can always access it if we have it in our minds. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Perhaps the example of Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 will help us grasp the concept to chew on God's word. Now, not literally. God does not expect us to take the Bible and pull out the pages and gnaw on them until we are able to swallow them. That wouldn't do us any good at all. Might add a little fiber to our diet, but that's not what God intended for his word. But have you ever ruminated on something? Do you know what that means? Well, we've talked a lot lately about context. And ruminating means a couple of different things. Do you know that cows and goats are called ruminants? You know why? It's because they chew, thoroughly chew, and re-chew their food so that they can digest it. I've often wondered, having been raised around animals and on farms and stuff, and the number of stomachs that a cow has, why he needed to chew his food so many times. I was told as a child I needed to chew 50 times every bite full of food. My question was obvious for a small child. Won't I wear out my teeth? Or why do I have to stay here so long at the table? It'd take me forever to eat. They were trying to get me so I could digest. And that's what this passage is talking about. How else can we mentally digest God's word unless we mentally chew on them? Turn them over in our minds, continually renewing ourselves with it. The passage there in Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts." If indeed we are able to remember some passages, perhaps it will get us through some difficult times. If we have God's word in our heart, one thing that is very certain, if we have God's word in our mind, and if we have sufficient amount of God's word in our mind, it's going to crowd our mind to the point that many things that ought not to be in there are not going to find room. We also see from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 that we must let God's word live with us. We all are very familiar with this passage. And contrary to common teaching, this is not speaking about the worship service in particular. I challenge you, go to the book, read the chapter, look at the context, and you'll see that it's talking about our daily lives. And it's pulled out of context sometimes so far that its real meaning is often missed. The daily life of the Christian is important. Here's a question for you. What if we heard, read, ruminated on, and tried to apply God's word only on the first day of the week? How strong would we be as Christians? Try this. Try eating once a week. Nobody wants that. We see the fallacy in putting forth that. Would we not fall woefully short of how God wants his children to live? What does he say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are on a daily basis to take the word of God and use it as a guide for our lives. It should be that which provides the harmony in our lives. And it's not just talking about rote memorization. You know, I won't say the word jealous of those who have the ability to read through a page and then you're having a conversation with them and they are able to recall the things that are on the page. Anybody ever heard of the what do we call that test when you go to the doctor? I just had to do that recently. I call it the idiot test because I was an idiot. They give you three things, and it's three totally unrelated things. And then she's talking to you about blood pressure or who knows what. And then she says, what was the first thing I said? I got the first thing. I was happy. Then she says, what was the second thing? And I said, I have no idea. And I did get the third thing, so I'm not totally off my rocker. I'm a third of the way gone. But some people have a better way of memorizing or are able to memorize. And I will tell you something that I have learned by experience. When we retired from the workaday world, we decided that every day, at least for the first little bit, we were going to memorize Scripture. And we went over Scripture, and we went over Scripture, and we went over Scripture. Every morning, I'd have my coffee, and she was drinking coffee at the time, but we'd have our coffee, we'd go out there on the deck, and we would memorize, and got to where we could just rattle them off. Well, she could. And then we got busy with things. And yes, we touched on them every once in a while, and we went over them every once in a while. One day we were riding down the road in the car, and she says, quote, and she gave me the name of the passage. I had no idea where to start. Why? I hadn't kept it refreshed in my mind. And I will tell you that she picked a hard one. But I'm not talking just about rote memorization. I'm talking about making God's Word part of us. That which people can see in us. That which they will hear from us. One thing is, when we speak, we're to speak as God's Word speaks. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. These are words that preachers, as well as all Christians, should heed. Oftentimes when it's looked into, this passage they're talking about someone speaking, maybe from the pulpit. But when we, as children of God, are talking to other people, what should we be talking to them about? The need for their soul. And what do we use to guide them so that the needs for their soul can be addressed? The Word of God. And yes, in its specific context, during the time of the miraculous and all these things that were going on, it does have a slightly different meaning. These people were to speak as they were given the word. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about glorifying God. Do we glorify God in our daily lives? Through our actions? Through the things that we teach? Through the things that people hear us say? And we do this through Jesus Christ. And it's to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. God has blessed us with the ability to remember. How many of us in the last week have said, I just can't remember? I suspect maybe every one of us, depending on the situation and the circumstance. But what do we do when we're talking to people about events that have occurred? You remember what happened last week? We can remember the things that we want to remember, but we've got to put God's Word in us. We've got to make it part of us. How to do that? Well, rote memorization is one method. But not all of us can easily memorize portions of the Bible or retain them as well as others. But we should try. You know, we might surprise ourselves. If we put forth the effort, we might surprise ourselves as to what we can memorize. And you know what? It's going to surprise some other people too. I know for a fact it will surprise them. But being able to quote passages is good, but what about the person being quoted to? How do they know that you're reciting the passage accurately? Sometimes people will intermingle some scriptures. And they'll quote part of one and part of another, and they've heard it that way or read it that way or something, and it sticks that way in their mind. Now, I'm likely to just draw a blank. But rather calling attention to my mistakes, why not direct that other person's attention to God's Word? Why not look it up? I have found that if you know where to find it, you're less likely to make a mistake because you turn to it and you read it. And over a period of time, believe it or not, you're going to actually pick up a little bit of it. And you're going to be able to recall where it is and what it's said. But folks need to look up the passages for themselves. Take, for instance, the folks in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. You know, we're talking about the Bereans. They didn't depend upon others to do their studying for them. They didn't wait until the Lord's day to see what the Word of God directed. What did they do? They took it upon themselves. They were motivated because they wanted to know. They were motivated because they wanted God's Word in their heart. And what was said of them? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Point one. When the word was spoken, they received it. They received it gladly, with readiness of mind. They wanted to absorb. They wanted to learn. They wanted to know. And then what did they do? Then they searched the scriptures every Sunday to see if those things were so. That's not what it says at all. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. You know, preaching was taking place everywhere then just as it is now. But they wanted to make sure that that which was being preached was that which was following the Word of God. You know, sadly, some simply take whatever message is preached. They accept it. They've done their time. They've attended services. They've heard the gospel. Some even follow it and never look it up to see if it was properly preached or applied. Even when I have a passage of scripture memorized, it's still wise to turn to the passage and have the person studying with me to turn there as well. And there's a number of reasons for this. There is much less likelihood for me to misquote because of a faulty memory. Have you ever been thinking about something and talking about something and something else, for whatever reason, invade your mind? Or is it just me? It happens. And sometimes you can get off track. Maybe you're quoting it and you're thinking about it and something happens over here and something's moving and you look away or somebody's trying to get your attention or whatever the case may be. And you falter. And a lot of times if you remember a passage and you learned it at a certain rhythm. Now y'all know me, I don't have a whole lot of rhythm. But what little bit I have, I try to apply. But if I learned it at a certain rhythm and I try to say it back slower or try to say it back faster, what's going to happen? I'm going to mess up. But it's better to have them look at it. I'm less likely to misquote it. Secondly, the person who is looking at the scripture can see for himself, this is really what God said. They don't have to say, well, Dennis said this. They can say, you know, I read that in the Bible myself. That preacher sat down there with me and we opened the Bible and we looked at it and we talked about it. And I saw exactly what was said. They can also at that time read the context to see that the passage is not being pulled out of context. I've had people to come to me with passages and say, what about this verse? If we sit down and look at the verse and examine it, they can say, oh, I see exactly what's going on here. And I try, when I call out a passage, to give a moment or two to turn to the passage and read the verse. I've had people to ask me, can you slow down a little bit? Can you give us the passage and give us a chance to find it? And I know that I see several heads going down. Every time I call out a scripture reference, heads go down and pencils waggle. They're jotting it down. That's good. That's encouraging. Because we all want to know exactly what it's said, what God's word is teaching. And it also keeps me on my toes because I want to say exactly what God said when I proclaim the word of God. But if we grow spiritually, God's word will be part of us. There is no way that a person can grow spiritually and do so separate and apart from the word of God. You can't do so by having good thoughts. You can't do so by trying to be a good person. You have to have the word of God. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We see there that those brethren and we are provided direction so that we do this very thing, that we take in the word of God, that we put it into our hearts, that it becomes part of us. It becomes what directs our lives. What were they told there? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there are those who are satisfied that they have learned enough. They know enough. I'm afraid the Christians are like a joke my son used to tell. He said, if you have a job and you make $9 an hour, when you do $9 worth of work, quit for the day. I'm afraid that's the way some people look at Bible study. I've done enough. I know enough for right now. I've had people to comment, I'm glad I don't know as much as you because I won't be held as responsible as you are. That isn't the way it works. What has he given us? All of his word. And therefore, we're all responsible for knowing it, for growing. And we should never be satisfied that we know enough. How do we grow spiritually? How about by reason of use? In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, these Christians, they were admonished to use the word so that it might get to the point where they could use the meat of the word properly. As the penman was directed by the Spirit, he wrote, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Again, we return to memorization. Memorizing a passage doesn't do you a whole lot of good if you don't have an immediate use for it. When I was in school, I remembered, because it was drilled into me, the multiplication tables. All the way up to 12 times 12. You seen the little box? Had them in the front of the textbooks and that sort of thing? Don't ask me what 8 times 9 equals, because I'll grab a calculator every time. You see my point? Here's an example that might help us. I've heard of a few excellent mathematicians that can solve the most complex geometric problems. Most of us can't do that. They'll think about it a minute and they'll write some scribbles and stuff on the line, and the next thing you know, they have the answer right there for you. We wouldn't even know where to begin, or I wouldn't. But I've seen carpenters solve complex geometric problems daily without effort. Why? Because they use the same methods over and over and over again. They've done this for so long that it becomes like second nature. I've seen people do things. I'm amazed that they can do it just with such fluid ease. How do you know how to do that? Well, I've been doing it for years. Why don't we apply that to the Word of God? Repeated use locks ideas in your head. It's very simple. Now, I'm not endorsing this movie. I didn't particularly care for this movie. But have you ever seen Karate Kid? Waxy on, waxy off, waxy on, waxy off. Paint up, paint it down, paint up, paint it down. And what happened? He got frustrated. He got aggravated. He said, why am I doing all this work? I'm waxing your cars. I'm painting your wall. And then he hollered at him, and he acted like he was going to punch him, and what happened? Whoop! He blocked a punch. He hollered again. Whoop! He blocked another one, a kick. What happened? Muscle memory kicked in. Repeated use. When we continue to use the Word of God, it will slowly sink in. You know, use also increased interests. If you read and study the Bible daily, you're going to learn things you never knew. You know why? You're going to want to know more. Your interest is going to be piqued about something. Study the Old Testament. Study the events that took place in the lives of God's people. You're going to learn names that you maybe can't even pronounce. You're going to learn names that you've not heard of before, or you're going to remember that somebody preached that in a sermon, and then you're going to say, oh, I know now exactly what happened to him and how that impacted Israel. And I don't know why, when people read the Bible, that it doesn't cause them to want to learn more. There are ways to encourage growth and use. You know, when you answer a question in a Bible class, and this has been brought up, and I think it's very, very sound advice, don't answer with, I think. Why? Because the answer is there. We don't have to think it means this or that. We don't have to think it says this or that. Find the passage, find the context, and then state over in book, chapter, and verse, the Bible teaches this or that. That nails it down. You know, when someone talks to you about a problem in his or her life, perhaps if we could think about a passage that would help address the situation, keep the passage in context, and then discuss it with that person, you might be surprised how it might help. What usually happens is, and I've seen this time and time again, I don't care what problem I've got. I can start telling somebody about it, and guess what they do? I remember 5 years ago, you know, I had the same thing happen to me. I think that's so that they want you to know that they can be compassionate about your situation. I'm not quite sure exactly how that works. But what about when something really bothers you? What do we do about it? Perhaps if we think about a Bible passage that might help us in that situation. Then we can go and we can read it again and again. Sometimes a good way of being able to tie passages together is start a cross reference in the margin of your Bible. Some people don't like to write in their Bible for some reason. I know that some people take sticky notes and they put them in their Bible, and next thing you know, your Bible is swelling. And that's okay if you can operate that way. But if you write down a note, a little scripture reference, and there's several little places on the margin and in between books and in between chapters maybe where you can draw a little arrow up there and say, you know, this tie this into Romans chapter 12 or whatever the passage might be. It helps. We can keep a list of key verses on the blank pages, perhaps in the back of the Bible. Or that's where to insert a sticky note with certain passages that might help in a certain situation. Or we've got these bookmarks and that sort of thing. It has the gospel plan of salvation on it. We should already know that, but it's good to have them. And somebody wants to know what to do to be saved. Here, look these passages up. Let's sit down and read them together. A number of different ways that we can do this. When a speaker mentions a passage, look it up. Jot it down. Talk about it. I've mentioned this a number of different times. The church, usually when it breaks up after an hour of listening to the preacher drone on and on and on and on, what do they talk about? Most of the time, anything but the Bible. Grandkids, what's happening, what's going on this week. So there's a lot of things that we can do. Talk to people about the Bible. You know, there's nothing like a discussion to get your mental gears engaged. If you talk about the Bible, people are likely going to have a question about the Bible. Or they're going to say something which will promote discussion. Yes, I will warn you up front. It is quite possible that people will say, now, wait a minute, you're not thumping your Bible at me. I don't want to hear that. It's going to happen. But we can't let that discourage us. We need to show people that we have the Bible in us, the Word of God in our hearts. We also need to give ourselves reminders. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, this is where one place that God told Israel how to remind their children and themselves. You know, a lot of times we want to, our children, we want them to learn certain things. And we have to remind them over and over and over. It is very helpful to us as well. And it could be easily accomplished when God's Word is in our hearts. When God's Word is in our heart, our mind, it is evident in every aspect of our life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And this next portion is a little more familiar to us. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And I know what people are thinking. We don't have enough time for that. I have never seen a day run out when we didn't have enough time if we put God first and we study His Word. Because the things that we need to do will get done. And if they don't, they're probably not important. But what does He say? To Israel, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. It's not talking about being Pharisaical, but it's talking about constantly reminding oneself of God's Word and putting it in, absorbing it, and living it. You might even write out a favorite passage and put it where you can see it. I know of some people that have told me that in their bathroom, on their mirror, each month they'll put a scripture and they'll tape it on their mirror where they can read it every day. Now, I think that's good. But that should not be our only access to the Bible during the day. You know, one woman took an idea from Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 18. And as a result, she spent a lot of time doing something. I don't know of this person, I just heard of it. She sat down and she copied books from the Bible. Then she bound it as gifts and gave it to people. I was thinking about that. I said she had a lot of time on her hands. But I bet when she got through sitting down and writing out, pick a book, the first chapter of Ezra, and writing it down for somebody, she probably had a better idea about what was going on in there. What does the passage say? And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. You know, if folks would hide God's word in their hearts, way back then, those folks, Israel would have been a whole lot better off. If we will hide God's word in our hearts, our minds, we will be a lot better off. We can think about God's word also. Think about it day and night. How did I begin the sermon this evening? I asked the question, what's on your mind? What do we think about? I can tell you what you think about, every one of you. I'm not a mind reader. I'm not the son of a mind reader. But you think about what's important to you. I think about what's important to me. That's just human nature. Is God's word important to us? Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 tells us what the godly man delights in. What it is that makes him happy. What he gets enjoyment out when he's living his life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It doesn't mean we have to go around mumbling scriptures to ourselves. Somebody's going to call the guys in the white suits and the ambulance for us if we do that. But we need to think about God's word. We need to delight in the law of the Lord. And we need to meditate upon it night and day. The whole reason for this, according to Psalms 119 and verse 97, is that this will make us closer to God. And we'll be more pleasing in His sight. As the psalmist was there directed to write, we read, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." What do we think about? If we love the law of God, the word of God, we will think on it. We will meditate on it. We will see that our lives align with it. When you stop and think about it, God's word should be our last meditation at night. What do you think about when you go to bed at night? I know a lot of people say, well, going to sleep. And I know when we get something on our mind and we're really thinking about it deep, it's kind of hard sometimes to go to sleep, isn't it? But we should think about God's word at the conclusion of the day. How about when we're undertaking a necessary but boring task? You ever had to sit and watch something to see if something else is going to happen? What happens? If you're like me, your mind wanders. Or you look like some people look right now. Just can't hardly keep my eyes open. No. What if we're thinking on things? You can watch something to see if something's going to happen. You can't do the next step until the next thing happens. That kind of thing. What do we ponder on? Look at Psalms 63 and verse 6. What do we ponder on while we do mundane tasks? The psalmist here is directed to write regarding both of these things. He says, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." We need to think about God's word continually, constantly. It needs to become a part of our lives. You know, one of the best ways of doing this, help somebody else learn. You ever taught anybody anything? When you stop and think about it, when you teach someone something, you gain as well. You benefit as well. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 7 tells us to do this. We can benefit by helping someone else learn the word of God. The wise man was directed to write, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so." Time's getting away from us, and there are a few more points to cover, but there are some reasons to learn. Why do we learn things? Very few people learn purely for learning's sake. Usually we have a goal. Something motivates us to learn something. We learn a particular skill so we can get a particular job. We learn what the teacher is saying in this class so we can graduate from this class to the next, to the next, to the next, and hopefully in 12 or 14 years we can get out. We need a reason to learn, a goal in mind. And one of the ways to figure out why things are as they are, or how they work. A lot of times we learn things because we're trying to figure out how they work. I always tell Linda, when things break and everything, if I knew how it worked, then I could fix it. We can know how God's word works, how that it's put together so it guides our lives. You know, you can stop and think about it. If you memorize all the English grammar rules you can, you figure out why those rules exist, and the rest comes easy. Things begin, the little pieces of the puzzle begin to fall into place. Because understanding follows learning. I've had one of the biggest gripes that people have about the Bible to me, or the excuses, I like to say they're excuses, is I can't understand the Bible. You know why? Because they've not set out to learn the Bible. If they learn the Bible, the pieces are going to fall in place. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6 tells us that knowledge can come easy to him that truly seeks to understand. It says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. Because we're looking for truth. We're looking so that we can understand what God would have us do. And one of the mistakes that people make is that they think that they know all there is to know about a particular subject. We need to understand that we're going to be wrong at times. If you look at Proverbs chapter 11, you're going to see that everyone will be properly corrected at some point. Somebody's going to know more about whatever the subject is. Even when it comes to the Bible, they're going to know more about the Bible than you are. And they're going to be able to bring something up and help you and guide you. And we need to accept that criticism if it's constructive. We're told there, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good rule of thumb is, I don't have all the answers. These points that are brought up, they'll help us to think. So we need to go, and we need to learn. And don't think you know all the answers when you sit down and start studying with somebody. I've seen it time and time again. They will ask a question that you have never dreamed up. And they'll make you work. Also, we should never ignore a subject just because we don't understand it. The latter part of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22 deals with this. Here's a question. How are we going to understand something if we don't study it? If we don't look into it? He asked the question, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. It is easy to ignore or mock what we don't know or understand, but it doesn't make us a better person. What makes us a better person is hiding God's word in our heart, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are we to conclude from all this? Well, Bible study is hard because some never make learning the Bible a part of their lives. Obeying God is hard for some people because they have not studied what God wants them to do. And one of the things that we must help people understand is how God said he will save. It's not a hard plan. It's a very simple plan. But so many miss it. If we hide God's word in our heart, we'll be able to tell people what to do in order to be saved. There are many different passages that could go be applied to this, but let's look at a few. One must hear the word of God, as James 1:22 tells those brethren, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. One must also believe, as Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 points out. It says, without faith it is impossible to believe. to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One must also repent. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we read, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And one must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When? when you are baptized into Christ, having been properly taught. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, notice the words with which this passage begins. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then we must remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Those who are an erring Christian needs to come back to God in repentance and prayer, just as Simon did. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. The question tonight is your heart right with God? It can be. And you can fill your life, your mind, your Bible heart with the Word of God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, we ask you to come as together we stand and sing the first and second verse of this song.